Last summer, I decided to visit my parents in northern Arizona. I don't really fit in with the rest of my family, so it's been a while since I've seen them. Growing up, my parents were always closer to my brothers than me. They were all short and stocky and really into sports. I was the exact opposite, tall and skinny and kind of a nerd. Still, they were my family, so I owed them a visit. The closest airport was in Las Vegas, and I figured I'd just rent a car there and then drive the 2 hours to my parents' house. My Aunt Nancy found out I was coming, so she offered to pick me up at the airport. I said yes, of course, but I didn't really want to rent a car. It seemed pretty nice of her, especially since my Aunt Nancy didn't really like me that much. She met me at the baggage claim, and then we started to drive out of the city. Instead of going south to Arizona, she went in the opposite direction. I asked her what was going on, and she explained that she wanted to swing by IKEA first. They didn't have any IKEAs in her part of Arizona, so she always went to the one in Vegas when she had a chance. I really just wanted to get back to my hometown, but my aunt was doing me a huge favor, so I couldn't really complain. When we got there, I asked her what she wanted to shop for. She just shrugged and said, "Nothing in particular, just browsing." I gulped. I knew that browsing meant that we'd be wandering around the store for hours. It was going to be very, very boring. If you've never been inside of an IKEA, those places are huge, and they always hide the exits. So even if you want to leave, you end up walking around the store a bunch of times before you even know where you're going. I just followed Aunt Nancy around, first to the dishes, then to the towels, and then clothes and other stuff. Then moved back to the dishes. It was mind-numbing. Then Aunt Nancy froze. She grabbed my arm and squeezed. I looked at where she was staring, and I saw a very normal guy walking around and checking out washcloths. "Quick," she said. "Come with me." She pulled me around the corner. We were now hiding behind a pillar. Nancy peered around the edge to see if that man was still there. He was, I guess, because then she hid again. "Who is that?" I asked. "I have no idea," Aunt Nancy said. "Then why are we hiding?" "Can't you tell?" she said. "That man's dangerous. He's obviously strung out on something bad. Or something." Something didn't seem right. I looked around the corner and saw the man comparing two different washcloths. There was absolutely nothing wrong with him. He seemed like some tall, nerdy, middle-aged man. I told my aunt that she was overreacting. Then I started walking away from her, and she literally grabbed me by the collar and yanked me back. "Don't," she said. "He'll kill you." For a second, I thought she was messing with me. My whole family did that a lot. They tended up to gang up on me, especially when they were all together. As the black sheep of the family, I was the butt of a lot of jokes. But no, Aunt Nancy looked dead serious. She held my arm and then started moving fast through the store. I had to keep pace, otherwise she'd practically rip my arm off. As we were racing away, that man must have seen us. He started yelling, "Hey, wait!" I didn't turn around, but I could hear him chasing us. We rounded a corner, speeding up. The man kept getting closer. Maybe Aunt Nancy was right. Maybe this man was dangerous. We passed by the cashiers, who just looked at us like we were crazy. Then, when we were almost to the exit, I felt two hands grab my shoulder and pull me back. Aunt Nancy screamed, "Let him go!" The man spun me around and stared into my eyes. He was sweating and out of breath, but he didn't look like he was on. Then he whispered, "Son?" That's when I realized this man looked a lot like me. We had the same eyes, the same hair, the same body type. Then he turned towards my aunt and muttered, "Nancy, I finally found you." Nancy tried to pull me away from him, but I wouldn't let her. I needed to know what was going on. I asked the man who he was. He said that he was my real father. He said that I was stolen from him when I was too young to remember. He mentioned Lois, my mom, and Larry, my dad. But he said they weren't my real parents. By then, Nancy was screaming at the top of her lungs, "Help! This man has a gun! He's going to kill us!" He didn't have a gun. This was just what she was trying to do to get rid of my biological father. Now it all made sense. Why my family was so different than me. Why I never felt like I belonged with them. Two security guards came and saw that my aunt was freaking out over nothing. Then they escorted her outside. She tried to fight them off. Now that I was alone with the man, he told me more about my past, how he'd met my mother at his job, how she ran off with me in the middle of the night. This all happened back east in South Carolina. He knew where they'd moved to, and he never stopped looking for me. And now, by a twist of fate, we met at the same IKEA in Las Vegas. This all happened last summer. Since then, I haven't seen my fake parents or my fake aunt again. I went back to my real dad's Airbnb. His name is Jimmy, and he was on vacation from South Carolina. I stayed with him during the whole trip, and I've been in close contact ever since. I can't believe this happened to me. I'm so grateful it did, though. All because Aunt Nancy wanted to go browsing through IKEA.
I was really hungover after a night out with the girls. I needed to get some coffee and carbs, so I left my apartment and walked a few blocks over to Dunkin' Donuts. I live near the college, so there were a lot of restaurants and shops and stuff near my apartment. I asked my roommate Tracy if she wanted to join me, but she was still asleep. Also, I think she was still angry at me for making out with the blonde guy that she liked. It happened all the time. Tracy would loudly declare who she wanted to hook up with, and if anyone got in her way, she'd start sulking for a couple days until she moved on to the next guy. I love Tracy, but I was done putting up with her crap. Besides, the blonde guy, Martin, I think, was an awful kisser. He used way too much tongue, and he kept stopping to complain about his ex-girlfriend. After a while, I ghosted him, but I guess Tracy saw us together and got pretty jealous. I think she even snapped some photos on her phone. Though I don't know why. Whatever. It didn't matter. I walked into Dunkin' Donuts and ordered 2 apple fritters from the young girl at the counter. If Tracy woke up and apologized to me for throwing a fit, I'd give her one of them. If not, I'd have 2 delicious apple fritters to myself. The girl seemed nice at first, but as I gave her the money, it was like her expression completely changed. She glared at me, then pulled out her phone to check something. I thanked her and started to leave, but then she told me to stop. She said she had some day-old donuts that she could give me for free. Of course, I said sure. I couldn't pass up on free donuts. Laughing, she ran into the back and then came out with a full bag. "Thanks so much," I said, and left. I walked into the parking lot, ready to head back home, but I had this strange feeling that something was wrong with the girl. I looked over my shoulder and saw her through the window, staring at me and grinning. What the heck was her problem? Just in case, I opened the free bag she had given me and reached for the donuts. My hand touched something wet and hairy. I screamed and dropped the bag. This girl hadn't given me a donut at all. She'd given me a dead rat. Its body had been crushed by some mousetrap, and bits of its blood was now in my fingers. I almost threw up. I charged back inside, furious. That woman stood behind the counter and laughed. "What the hell?" I shouted. "You stole my man," she screamed. "You're the rat." I told her that I had no idea what she was talking about, but she kept calling me a rat. I probably should have called the police right then and there. I still had the disgusting bag in my hand for evidence, but something came over me and I decided that I wouldn't back down until I found out what this psycho was talking about. She pulled out her phone, scrolled through it for a second, and then showed me a photo from last night. It was me making out with Martin, that gross blonde guy. I didn't need to ask her how she got that picture because I could see that it was posted on Tracy's Insta. It had the caption, "My roommate." Obviously, Martin was her ex-boyfriend. That psycho ex he had been complaining about was her. So Tracy was the reason all this craziness was happening to me. I was beyond pissed, more at my roommate than this girl. I turned to leave, but I guess that made the worker even angrier. She literally jumped over the counter and came towards me. I could tell that she wanted to hurt me. I was still hungover and in no condition to fight back, so I just kept walking. The woman skidded to a stop in front of the door, blocking my exit. She grabbed my shoulders and held me in place. I thought she was going to strangle me. "Please," I said, "I don't even know Martin." "But you know his name," she said. She was so close, I could feel her hot breath. "Stop," I told her, "I didn't do anything." "Martin is mine," she screamed. I pushed her off me and then made a mad dash out of the door. I just needed to get out of there, find a safe place where I could hide and call the police. But she wouldn't stop. She charged toward me. I'd never seen someone that angry. If she was crazy enough to give a customer a dead rat, who knew what she'd be capable of if she got her hands on me? I jumped to the side. The woman was going so fast that she couldn't stop herself. She stumbled right past me and her head slammed against the floor. I'll never forget the loud thud. When I looked over, she was laying on the ground unconscious. I didn't even lift a finger. I silently dropped the rat-filled bag next to her body and left. Once I was at a safe distance from that mad girl, I called the police and told them everything. As I waited for help to arrive, I wiped off my hands and tried to eat one of my non-rat donuts, but I just didn't have the appetite. I gave my statement to the cops and they took her away. They grabbed the rat bag as evidence. Then I went home, packed up my stuff and moved out before Tracy could wake up. I didn't even leave a note. After that, I never talked to my ex-roommate again. Whether she meant to or not, her jealousy had indirectly caused one of the weirdest, grossest encounters of my life. Since that day, I refused to eat donuts. Just the thought of it makes me sick. It was a beautiful Saturday morning, and my husband Mark and I decided to take a trip to our local IKEA. We needed to purchase some new furniture for our guest room, and we were both excited to see what deals we could find. As we made our way through the maze-like store, I couldn't help but notice how eerily quiet it was. Despite the many displays and furnishings, there were very few customers around. It was almost as if we had the whole store to ourselves. We did not exactly find what we were looking for: a comfortable bed, a matching dresser, and a nightstand. Mildly disappointed, we started walking toward the exit. But something caught my eye: a small, unmarked door. I turned to Mark. "Hey, do you want to check that out?" He shrugged. We made our way over to the door and pushed it open. Inside was a dimly lit staircase that led down to what seemed like a basement. The air was musty and cold, and I shivered involuntarily. Mark took my hand. "Are you sure you want to do this?" I nodded. "Yeah, let's see where this goes." We descended the staircase and found ourselves in a long, narrow hallway. The walls were made of cinder blocks, and there were no windows or doors in sight. The only light came from a few flickering fluorescent bulbs overhead. As we walked, I felt a growing sense of unease. There was something off about this place, something sinister. But I couldn't put my finger on what it was. Mark told me to turn back, but I didn't want to. I wanted to see the end of it. What secret could be lurking beneath the store? Why did they need such a door? What was going on? I wanted to know and figure it out. Mark didn't seem to press harder either, so we kept going. A few steps later, we turned a corner and came face to face with a group of men. They were all dressed in black, and their faces were hidden behind ski masks. They looked like they were up to no good. Mark and I tried to hide, but it was too late. The men had seen us, and we couldn't run anymore. Fear crept into my skin, and I stared at my husband to do something. But at the same time, I knew it was my fault that we were both in trouble and in the midst of what looked like wicked men. One of them stepped forward and asked with a gruff voice what we were doing down there. It was impossible to say that we got lost. We sensed that it would be ridiculous to make any excuses, so Mark and I remained silent. The man looked us up and down and said that we had trespassed and they couldn't let us go back. He motioned to one of the men with him and asked him to take us to the boss. It scared me to realize that what was going on seemed to be more than met the eye. The men grabbed us roughly and led us down the hallway. We had no choice but to follow. We didn't know what they wanted from us, but we knew it couldn't be good. After what felt like an eternity, we reached a large metal door. The men pushed us inside, and we found ourselves in a massive room filled with stolen goods. TVs, computers, jewelry, you name it. It was like something out of a heist movie. In the center of the room sat a man, the boss. He was older, with a receding hairline and a thick beard. He looked us up and down, his eyes cold and calculating. "What brings you here?" he asked. Mark and I chose silence and only stared in fear and disbelief. What was going to happen to us now that we had discovered some criminal's lair? He leaned back in his chair. "Well, I don't think you'll be leaving anytime soon." Mark stepped forward. "What do you mean? We didn't do anything wrong." The boss chuckled. "You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And now you're my prisoners." He motioned to his men. "Lock them up." The men dragged us away, and I knew that we were in deep trouble. We were stuck in this nightmare, trapped in a criminal's lair, and all because we decided to explore a mysterious door in IKEA. The room they threw us in was small, dark, and dank. The only source of light came from a small barred window high up on the wall. There was no furniture, no bed, nothing. Just cold, hard concrete. Mark and I huddled together in a corner, trying to stay warm. I couldn't believe this was happening. It felt like a bad dream, but unfortunately, it was very real. "What are we going to do?" Mark whispered. I shook my head. "I don't know. We have to find a way out of here." We searched the room, hoping to find something that could help us escape. But there was nothing. No hidden doors, no loose bricks, nothing. As we sat in silence, I heard footsteps approaching. The door creaked open, and the boss walked in, accompanied by two of his henchmen. The boss leaned in close. "You're gonna help us with our next job, and if you don't, well, let's just say you won't be leaving this place alive." He motioned to his men. "Bring them." They led us out of the room and back into the hallway. We walked for what felt like miles, deep into the bowels of the building. Finally, we reached a large metal door. Mark and I exchanged a look. We knew we had to find a way out of this, but we didn't know how. The boss opened the door, revealing a room filled with weapons, masks, and other tools of the trade. Suddenly, I had an idea. "Mark, grab a gun. When we get to the store, point it at the boss and tell him you're going to shoot unless he lets us go," I whispered in Mark's ear. Mark looked at me. "Are you crazy? What if he calls our bluff?" "We have to take the risk. It's our only chance." Mark nodded, and we waited for our moment. When the time was right, Mark aimed his gun at the boss. "Let us go, or I'll shoot." The boss turned, surprised, but then he started to laugh. A shootout ensued, and in the chaos, Mark and I made a run for it. We ran through the store, knocking over displays and dodging bullets. Finally, we made it outside, and we didn't stop running until we were miles away from the store. We called the police and told them everything. They didn't immediately take us seriously, but eventually, they sent a SWAT team to the IKEA. They found the boss and his men, along with all the stolen goods. The men were tried in court, and my husband and I stood as witnesses. Stolen goods were returned. I would forever be grateful that I didn't lose my life due to my curiosity.